T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smarks and Stripes. I really hope you enjoyed our last episode, the interview with the American Nightmare, Cody and Brandi Rhodes. I was not on it. I was really bummed about that, and I am joined today, of course, by Eric Turtle Golden. How are you, Turtle?
I'm great.
How much fun was that interview?
It was so much fun.
It really was. I'm legitimately pissed. Like, the last time I was actually sick in, like, life was when the Rumble and NXT were here. And, like, I had to leave right before the main event of NXT because I felt like I was legitimately going to die. And I was like, there's no way this is happening again. I can't possibly... Like, I had tickets to all four shows that we ended up spending the whole time in bed. It was miserable. Oof. And I was like, there's no way this is happening again. But it turned out to be, like, a 48-hour thing. I'm pretty good now.
Good.
Ready to go. I was able to go to AEW Dynamite. But first, I just want your reaction to the interview that you did with Cody and Brandi, because I just listened to it. It was really good. You guys fit in a lot in a short amount of time. I know the time constraints and everything. They are busy people.
They
work for a real company. They have, like, this isn't a work, you know? Like, they are legitimately the chief brand officer and EVP of a billion-dollar, like, working for a billionaire.
It blew me away. I'm going to go back to Baron Corbin's interview real quick, too. When he was telling us after that interview, his schedule is like, I haven't been home in, like, 3 weeks, and I flew here to here to here to here. And they don't just fly from each place. Like, they would fly from wherever they're living to Philly to back to wherever they're living to Florida to back to where they're, like, they're literally in every place. And then when Cody and Brandi were telling us the same thing essentially afterwards, it just blows my mind how
And they're not doing house shows. That's the craziest part.
they're just going everywhere, though. Yeah. And we talked about it before the interview, Keenan and I, and we talked about this when, like, we bring Baron Corbin in and all these other guys in. Like, are they really going to be as cool as they are on TV? Are they going to play the part? Are they going to be just chill people? And it was the best of both worlds. Cody, for a little bit, was the American Nightmare. He was that character, that great, arrogant, heel-ish type character. But the second the mic's off and the second the mic's, like, aren't rolling, he is so chill, so down to earth, and told so many Keenan stories that we can't tell on air, unfortunately. Well, that you missed out on.
I'm legitimately upset.
Great. And they really were. And it was a fun interview to do. And I just hope everybody liked it.
All right, so if listening to Cody and Brandi was your first time listening to this show, I bet it was, looking at our numbers. Welcome. I'm glad you decided to come back. I am Bill Matz. I'm here sometimes.
Turtle is here. I'm here sometimes.
Turtle is here sometimes. Kevin is here sometimes. We're like the New Day.
Yeah.
We have it's free bird rules. We kind of we come in and out.
Who would you be though if we're the New Day?
I think I have to be I'm Woods, right?
Yeah. I would say so.
Like, Keenan is our Keenan's the guy.
Kofi, because he's Kofi. The most experienced wrestler.
Yeah.
And I'm a huskier dude, so I got to be Big E.
Yeah, you're
I just got to get the hips swivel down. I can't do it right.
No, I bet you could get it down. I want to talk about the show and the results and everything. But I want to talk first just about the live experience going to AEW Dynamite.
I didn't get to go, so it's got to be great. It was
really cool. The live experience. I missed ECW by a little bit, and nothing compares to what that was. I understand nothing will ever be ECW, but it felt just special to be there. That building was legitimately sold out. I bet you, real attendance-wise, people in the door, 85-90% minimum. Like, the the section where the hard camera was, where they sometimes fit people in for WWE, but it's mostly blocked off. That whole section was blocked off. Other than that, pretty much everything completely full. I was sitting there because I sat down right before the first dark. They had one match before the show and two after. And I was like, ooh, this isn't good. Like, it was 50% full. Fair. And doors were an hour before that. So people had time to hit the gimmick table, to get beers and stuff. So I'm like, ooh, this is okay. But then right before the 8 o'clock bell time, it started to fill. Like, I had a seat next to me. I was like, oh, this is great. I got a little bit of room. By the time, that was not the case by the time the show started. But it just felt special. Surrounded by wrestling fans, people who weren't just, like, when WWE comes to town, you're a wrestling fan, but your friends aren't. Your friends want to go. When we talked to Vinnie Curry, he said this. Vinnie Curry of the Eagles is a big wrestling fan. We asked him who else in the locker room is a big fan. He was like, no one really. Some people watched it when they were younger and stuff. But when it comes to town, everyone's like, hey, let's go to the wrestling show. That was not this.
Okay.
This was a building, and it's not the Wells Fargo Center. I get it. It's the Lea Chorus. It's a little smaller. Granted. But it was filled with people who were excited to be there. And, like, the thing I love about all wrestling shows is it's the most diverse crowd you'll ever be in.
Yeah.
Little kids, adults like us, like people with their children, minorities, like everybody is there and represented at a wrestling show. And it was like that. And it was all different kinds of fans, like the smarks like me, just making jokes, having fun. People there who are really into it, like the still real to me, damn it, people, like people who just love the Young Bucks. Everyone.
Now, let me ask you this about the crowd, because we talked earlier on when AEW was still debuting and the pay-per-views were coming out. Did it feel like the same crowd that's just traveling with them?
Or did it
feel like a Philadelphia, like,
this was a
homegrown crowd?
This was a Philadelphia crowd.
Well, that's great to hear
like,
for them.
The one guy I was talking to behind me, I go to a lot of wrestling shows by myself because I'm a 31-year-old man, and a lot of my friends aren't stunted children. So But I always say I don't go. Like, I make a friend immediately. I talk to everyone in my section. Like, it's a diverse crowd. It's always fun. The guy right behind me is wearing a 97 Eric Lindros jersey. Like, it's that kind of crowd.
I like that.
But people were passionate. People were happy to be there. It was just a lot of fun. I will say, before we get into the results and everything, I don't know. It's been a while since I was at the Lea Chorus Center. I don't know if it's the building sound system, just the way the acoustics work in that building, or AEW's actual system, their rig and everything. Man. The pre-tapes, everything like on the screen, even the promos in the ring, hard to hear.
Oof.
Hard to hear. That, like, if I were to give this show, say it was a 5-star show, I'm giving it 4.5 because that one, like, people were like, I can't hear shit.
Now, is it legitimately you can't hear shit? Or is it your now trained radio ear? Because everywhere I go now,
I know
how to fix these things. And like, I was at a wedding like 2 or 3 months ago, and I go, you know what? This microphone stinks, and there's feedback. In my head, I'm like half drunk, so I'm like,
yeah,
I could go fix that thing, and I legitimately know how to, as do you.
Well,
is it just that bad?
Everyone in my section, at least, was like there was a chant like, we can't hear you.
Okay.
Like, also, like. It took away from it a little, but outside of that, the experience was just freaking incredible. I love that you got to one of the questions with Cody and Brandy that I always ask. Does it feel like a boom period is coming? And we've talked a lot about AEW and how, all right, your second or third time in a city, or when you go to a B town or a C town that isn't Boston, D.C., Philly, will you be filling up the way it is? And they gave a great answer about sending everyone home happy and making sure everyone knows you are going to get a great experience when you go to this show. And everyone in that building will go to the next AEW show.
And I hope that's the case. And every time I hear somebody say that, I just go back to that Raw. I don't remember the exact date, but you saw the McMahons and you saw Triple H in the ring. And they go, we're going to listen to fans now. We're going to give you what you want, blah, 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 blah. And it lasted like legitimately
a day and a half.
I wasn't even going to give a month because at least that first month,
listen,
I was like, ooh, I could be excited. Let me think and hope and pray.
I don't want to talk.
I hope it's not just BS talk.
Yeah. In the interview, I liked how Cody pointed out the different, like, the cons are different types of leaders than Vince. They don't want to spend a ton of time talking about Vince, but when you ask about the cons, there's one other person to compare them to. Like,
absolutely.
It's not like we have a, it's not like, oh, how does Jerry Jones compare to Jeffrey? Like, there's one guy. Yeah. And so you're going to draw the comparisons, and much more collaborative. The wrestlers have a much different approach to their own creative. I really think people are going to continue to come out and support this because it's something to get behind. I'll never be out on WWE,
sure,
but man, it hasn't been good.
No,
and it was trending up.
I know we're doing an AEW recap, but
yeah, I don't want to get into it too much. But we
have
like,
but I have
the
to
Bischoff thing.
That.
Like, that's the biggest nit. Like,
and by the way,
four months,
and was any of his fault the draft being leaked?
And
like,
nobody changed shows. They drafted guys from Raw to Raw, girls from SmackDown to SmackDown.
I had hope.
Liv whatever gets drafted before the universe. Like, what? Liv Morgan, like, drafted before the champions.
That
shit was so dumb.
It was the worst thing. And maybe Bischoff is a scapegoat. And I know Keenan says we're going to try and get him on again. And hopefully he'll give us the
download. Oh, my God. Because Bischoff doesn't have a no-compete. He has nothing to hide. He was just confirmed for StarCast.
Yep.
He sounds like he has some shit to say. Let's get Eric Bischoff.
I hope and pray we do.
You guys had him on your former iteration of this show.
It was a great interview then, and this could be even better now if he's got stuff to say like that.
We talk all a little behind. Like, we talk about the guys who like to talk, and if you've listened to this show, we've had a few interviews where,
like
our Shane Helms interview.
Yep.
He kept going, and he'd take a long pause, and I'd go to follow up, and then he'd keep going, and it's great. No one wants to hear our voices.
Right.
Like, they're there to hear the freaking hurricane. If he talked for an hour straight, just did a monologue, I wouldn't care. Awesome. Like, Bischoff, if you listen to 83 Weeks, has a lot to say. I would love to talk to him, especially now.
With the whole draft mishap, with the whole everything, Liv Morgan, and listen, I actually like Liv Morgan. I think she's very talented. But there's no way she should be drafted.
There's no reason she should be mentioned on television during the draft.
Over these people that she was.
60 people ahead of her on the depth chart.
The whole thing didn't make sense. They leaked out the first night. They tried to fix it up the second night. And by the way, not to keep going WWE, but is the Rollins-Bray feud just now over since they're on different brands and they're exclusive?
Except they're not, because
We
heard they're wrestling at Crown Jewel, even though there's never going
to
be Raw versus SmackDown again.
Even though
Survivor Series, Crown Jewel is its own thing, because like we joked about, when the King of Saudi Arabia is like, I want Goldberg, and they're like, well, that's going to be like an extra couple million bucks, and he just goes, I print my own money.
Yeah.
Here you go.
I'll give them some.
Like, Crown Jewel is its own thing.
Crown Jewel.
Yeah,
but. Legitimately, is that story just done now? All that they invested, every terrorizing Seth Rollins crybaby moment,
Seth Rollins,
it's just done?
It wasn't a double turn, apparently, even though everybody loves Firefly Funhouse.
And that's the best thing they just have
they
on TV.
Are
they
are so
just
tone-deaf to what their audio... It's unbelievable.
But
and
let's go back to something who's
AEW,
not tone-deaf.
Yeah, let's talk about AEW, because this is not... Everyone has their opinions about WWE. None of us will ever stop watching it.
I'm going to watch. I'll watch Monday, I'll watch Friday.
I DVR it every week. I'm not going to stop. But let's talk about AEW, because this is DVR worthy. But let's talk first about the opening dark match. You and I have talked a couple of times about Joey Janela.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us are particularly high on him. I've only seen him work a handful of times. So I'm not super familiar with Janela. I know he's over on the indies. He comes out. He is the first match. They bring out Taz. Taz is on commentary.
Fantastic move by them.
Cody talked about it on the interview, mm-hmm. and just what a great, man, I know ECW's dead and buried, but those guys still have to feel so proud about what they accomplished.
Oh, absolutely.
They made a dent in a business where you can't make a dent.
So Keenan took us to a House of Hardcore show, just a quick story, and I met, for the first time, the Sandman. And I was just like, man, thank you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you. And I don't want to say he teared up or anything like that, but you could tell that
they
saying
know.
Thank you meant something
you
to
you. Gave
him.
Us the, ECW is forever ours. And again, I missed out on it in its first run. I've gone back and watched so much. I'm an ECW fan at this point, but didn't see it when it was happening. But you could just, this is Philly. End of the day, this is Philly.
Yep.
We don't love everybody. But you could feel the legitimate City of Brotherly Love vibe for Taz. Like, absolutely. The ECW chants, you could just see it was there, and that kind of feeling carried over through the whole night.
That's
like,
a positive
this is the
thing.
Next thing that's happening. Taz is on commentary with Excalibur for Dark for the first match. They bring out Joey Janela, and he's fighting Brandon Cutler. I've only seen a couple of Cutler matches. I believe he was in NXT for a little while, never stood out. Like I said, neither of us particularly high on Janela, just haven't seen enough of his work.
And that's exactly the reason.
Yeah. Everything, your first match, you just want to get the crowd going. Perfect choice. Because everyone else there loved freaking Joey Janela. And even though, like, 50% at this point, the crowd had not filled in yet, everything he did got a response. Great opening match. Obviously, Janela, he gets the win.
Right.
He took a loss last week to Omega, even though I like how they're protecting guys, and even though wins and losses matter, they're figuring out ways to make it all work. He picks up the win. This is a match that counts, so it was cool to see.
And they're doing the wins and losses on their website now, too. So they're going to have a 23-7 and whatever record.
And when they come out, it's like whatever type of match it is, singles, tag, it's like their record in that, and then their overall record. Just a little bit different of a presentation. I like it so far.
As long as they go with that meaning something.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's whoever, tiny little dude that's won five matches in a row. If five matches gets you a title shot, put whatever little no-name dude in the title match.
Yeah.
Do it.
It was just cool to see Janela very over everything. If you're not watching AEW Dark, I believe it comes out on Tuesdays at 7 on YouTube.
Which it totally threw me. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I saw you talking. I'm like,
Wednesday?
Is it Wednesday? I just talked to these guys. Like, what's happening? But it's on YouTube. That's good stuff. I didn't get to watch this episode yet, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, the Philly episode will be next Tuesday. It was cool. Check it out. Janela opens it. Then we get to the real show. Starts at 8:00, right on time. They bring out SCU. It's the tag team tournament. Looks like it's going to be Kazarian and Daniels. Now, I'm a huge Christopher Daniels fan. Like, been watching Daniels a long time. One of the guys I loved in TNA when I was like a 16-year-old Cena hater, and I was like, TNA's gonna win this war. Like, loved Christopher Daniels, one of my like three favorites over there. Before Best Friends Best Friends are in the ring, Lucha Bros come out, attack SCU from behind. Lucha Bros had a match in the tournament later that night. Attack SCU from behind. Christopher Daniels takes a package pile driver on the ramp from my angle, because I was up, I'm facing the ramp a little to the, diagonal. From my angle, it looked like he protected him well on the pile driver. It looked like, I can't remember which Lucha Bro it was, but looked like he came down on his ass first, didn't look Owen Hart-ish, look like Austin getting dropped on his head. Yo, the front angle? Looks like he got hurt. It looks like it was a work, and thank God. But everyone in the audience was like, I don't know if this is... Did I just see in the opening segment Christopher Daniels get his neck broken? Like, they bring out the stretcher, do a stretcher job, and they don't take him back up the ramp. They open apart in the seating so they can get him right to the back. Like, it was like the Bucks come out in their street clothes because they're part of it. It was it worked. It definitely worked. But then,
he suffered a stinger was the official wrestling diagnosis.
Legitimately, what happened to Stone Cold Steve Austin is a stinger. Yeah. But he also, bruised his spinal cord. He didn't break his...
Which is not good.
No, it's not. But, it was... whether it was a work or not, the angle got over. People were like, oh, my God. Scorpio Sky comes out. They have the tag match. Really good. SCU moves on. Again, if you're going to open a match, this was very... It felt how WCW used to open the 9:00 hour with the cruiserweights because they wanted to win that first, stick around. This is something you're not getting on the other channel.
Right.
It was fast-paced, a lot of cool spots, typical AEW tag match. And I hate to say typical because it's not, I don't want to say, it was a typical AEW, because it's fun to watch, especially live. Like, the live crowd ate it up. It was a lot of fun.
The one thing I will say about the run-in... They've been doing a lot of that recently. and it starts to lose its value to me. I don't want to crush AEW because it's been fun to watch. I've watched every episode to date. It just, it's enough with the run. Like,
that's,
let
I'd
a
like
match to, go off. It's just a little too much.
We'll get to the main event, but I will say we're all sitting in the crowd watching the main event, and like I'm talking to people, and they're like, hey, it's week three. The first 2 weeks have ended in a beatdown. I don't want that.
Right.
Like, yes, there was a run in the end, but Jericho's a heel and he's got the inner circle and what it worked. Like, it wasn't the same ending as the first 2 weeks.
Exactly.
So people were happy with that before the dark. But we'll move to the next match, and it's Santana and Ortiz. They defeat Alex Reynolds and John Silver. Have no idea who these two are.
Couldn't even tell you.
Like I just said in the previous match, what I really liked about this match, and we've talked about this, and it's to bring up Vinnie Curry again, when we asked him his first impressions of AEW after the first couple pay-per-views. I wonder if people are going to get burned out on the long matches. Like, every match doesn't need to be 12-plus minutes. Yeah. Every match doesn't need to be 9 high spots. As fun as chanting, "This is awesome," is...
It's when not we awesome look, the 12th time
when
in the
we
night.
Look at like just the meaning of words, if everything is awesome, nothing is.
Correct.
This was the perfect. All right, guess what? Santana and Ortiz, while some people are familiar with some of their work, they're new to the company. This is their first televised match for us. We're just going to have a squash. A quick match. Like, it wasn't like every other match on the card, and it's the first time it's the first time they've done something like that. I got the same feeling like the first week of AEW. I'm just watching every match and it's good, but I just go, they need one big hoss. And then at the end, Jake Hagar comes out. I go, okay, cool. I wanted a little bit of different. And this match was like that. I was like, does every match need to be 12, 14 minutes?
No.
Like, and then they gave us a 6 minute, like, cool, perfect.
And
awesome.
Some can be that. And that's the fun of wrestling. The surprise, quick ending. Like, listen, LAX, Santana, and them aren't going to lose to some rando people. That's just not how it's going to happen. But the surprise ending is always fun. I didn't hate Brock Lesnar taking over Kofi because it's a shock. Was it great? Did I love it? No, but that's...
Broke my heart, but I knew... Like,
but it's different.
When you know something's going to happen and it still kills you.
The point is just different.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Every single match, as you keep saying, doesn't have to be 12 minutes. Doesn't have to be 10 flips of the same kind and 12 this and 7 of that. And that's what it was... trending to. When you do a match like this, you halt that trend and it becomes more fun.
All right, we move on to Britt Baker versus Rio. Rio is the women's champion, has that tiny little belt.
Infuriatingly tiny.
You gotta, like, we're all sitting again, like, all right, it's the first women's title defense. But there's a little part in the back of my mind. I'm like, everyone sitting here knows Rio isn't going to drop the title right now. So will she? Like, are they going to throw that little bit of a curveball? Right. And so a couple of Britt Baker's false finishes really got over just because people were like, is this happening? And I'm not familiar with much of them. I'm not the biggest fan of Riho. She's just so little. I just can't imagine her winning a fight against. And even like, listen, Sasha Banks is tiny. Next to Riho, I bet Sasha Banks looks like Andre the freaking Giant.
Sasha Banks is more built, even though she's tiny. She's a little more put together than Riho.
Oh, no, she looks like she lifts
Riho's
weights.
Riho's very much Kabuki Warriors, not Asuka, but
Kairi Sane.
Kairi Sane. Very much of that same build, very tiny. Like, I don't...
She's like 98 pounds legitimate.
I don't buy into Kairi Sane because of just her build. When she's fighting a whoever, she's always the smaller one, and I just don't buy into it. And I didn't buy into it with Rio. I don't.
The fact that Britt Baker's name got brought up in our interview when Brandy said, "Hey, she's one of the been with us since day one. One of the people who might not be as over as the top people yet, but next in line." You know, so I thought there was a little bit of a chance.
I thought the same exact thing.
I'm not going to get into star ratings or anything. That's all stupid. It's subjective. Watch wrestling and enjoy it. Who cares?
Exactly.
This wasn't the greatest match of all time, but for someone who doesn't particularly love either of these people, it worked. It was fine. It was good. Rio ends up retaining. It's cool. We move to the Lucha Bros versus Jurassic Express. Little bit of a bummer because Luchasaurus is out with a,
I believe.
Yeah, Jim Ross called it a non-contact thigh injury, I believe is what he said on Twitter.
Supposedly he was warming up for the match and just moved the wrong way and tore something.
So Marco Stunt, speaking of just ridiculously scrawny people, Marco Stunt fills in and the gimmick itself loses a little bit of something
when it's little and littler.
Without Luchasaurus. Like, he's the one who makes it work. But the Lucha Bros are really cool. It was weird just because everyone, I think at this point, everyone realized the Christopher Daniels angle was just an angle, and he wasn't paralyzed, you know?
Thankfully.
So, yeah, no. The reaction to the Lucha Bros would be much different if they thought one of these guys legitimately just broke Christopher Daniels' neck.
Correct.
So both teams very over. Jungle Boy... I'll give it to Keenan. Keenan's been telling us about Jungle Boy. These guys, with Marco Stunt, I had lower expectations for this match. And listen, I get if you like a certain type of wrestling, this might not be for you. Again, the crowd ate it up.
Yeah,
like they love this stuff, and I really want to see how long. And it's week three, so like, how much storytelling can you do? I know they have being the elite and everything, and they move storylines along on there as well, and the road to AEW, all that stuff. I want to know how long just wrestling, just high spots, is going to sell tickets and get people tuning in. We love, like, the people in that building loved it. I want to see this stuff. We know that there are 1 to 2 million actual wrestling fans in this country. If they really want to grow that audience, though, we need some hot angles.
Yeah.
Like, and this again, this is a tournament, so it's about the wrestling, it's about the winners and losers, and we know the winning and losing is what's going to drive this show for now, but I want to see things progress from a storytelling on screen. It doesn't need to be WWE. This doesn't need to be Vince Russo's Attitude Era.
Just tell a story.
Just tell a story. And personal issues always sell.
I guess the one thing that sort of disappointed me about the night, it was just essentially the same match over and over and over again. We're at, what, 4 tags on the night? 3 tags so far?
They are pushing tag team wrestling.
And I appreciate it. I do. Like, I want to see these guys do it all. But just give me a little bit of variety.
Like, yeah.
The whole night, unless you're branding this as tonight is a tag team tournament night, it don't have to be tag teams.
That you had 2 tag tournament matches... Plus the Santana and Ortiz match. So it was weird booking in that way.
Yeah.
Like, we have this tag team tournament going on, so people are thinking about that. But you just introduced these characters, Santana and Ortiz. How do we get them over? Well, we have to get them in the ring because that's how we're telling our stories in the ring.
Right.
So they have to have a match. Again, I complimented the match because it was different.
Absolutely.
It wasn't like these other 2 tag matches. But
it's still tag, tag.
If you listen to Eric Bischoff talk on 83 Weeks about how he approached competing with WWE, and they're not there yet.
No.
The ratings are going to get closer and closer, but they're, like, listen.
The reality is they're not there.
The reality
is. They don't have 3 shows.
But,
WWE's ratings, if WWE had SmackDown only, or Raw only, or NXT only, the ratings would blow AEW right now out of the water. They just would.
Yeah.
Because it's not a watered-down product where you saw Brock, 3 times in a week. Obviously not on NXT, but you know my point here.
Yeah.
That's the difference. It's 3 shows versus 1. That's why ratings are down.
Oh, so it's definitely
part, obviously.
The overexposure is definitely part of it, and that leads to just watered down stories. And again, getting away from WWE,
right.
But yeah, I just want to see how that aspect of it goes. We get to Omega and Hangman against Mox and Pac. Goddamn, is John
another tag match, by the way? But
another
go on.
Yes, another again, and we have these storylines, and obviously. You know, we're trying to build to Omega versus Jon Moxley at Full Gear.
Yep.
So how do we do that? We're going to... I love when people come in here because you're working, but we're also recording a wrestling podcast.
Exactly.
Omega and Mox are, you know, that's the 1A main event for Full Gear. It's another tag match, but we're trying to build here. I just got to say, goddamn, is Jon Moxley... Like, people... There was a CZW chant that you could tell, like,
I saw the,
actually took it.
Like,
he was like, oh, my God, are you kidding? Like, he was like, people are chanting CZW right now?
So the match itself, great. entertaining, no problems with
Mox walks out, and Omega and Hangman end up beating up Pac. Pac got over on Omega, so they get to beat him down. Hangman ends up getting the win, so that helps build him back up. But this is just more of your top storylines, and then next week they announce, because Mox walked out on Pac, those two are going to fight. So a cool singles match that we haven't seen before. That's something. Two very different styles. That's Mox has such a unique style. I'm looking forward to that one.
Like, he's good in the ring. Nothing I'm about to say about Dean Ambrose, John Moxley is that I hate him. It just doesn't win me over. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was tired of him in the prior life, and I get to see him now in a bit of a different life, and he's a lot more aggressive, and that's fine. But it just, he in particular, as this character in this company, has not won me over yet.
And that's, he's going to do things his way. He wants to do the unscripted violence. Yeah. That's what he wants to do. And
although the Goldberg type entrance last week, that I was like, come on, bro. You're not Goldberg. That was original. Stop it.
But it was cool. It's another tag match, though. That's what, 1, 2, 3, 4 out of what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 total matches on the card or tags. That's what I was getting to. Lost my train of thought. When you hear Eric Bischoff talk on 83 Weeks, he sat down and made a list of all the ways WCW could be different from WWE. If AEW, the people in charge of AEW, were to do that, man, what is over in Ring of Honor? Tag matches. It's something that Vince just doesn't like. More than anything, he thinks it's a misallocation of resources. Why would I use 4 people in a segment when I can use 2? This is a 3-hour show. If 2 guys are over, that's 2 segments. Yeah. Why would I do it in 1?
So, he's not totally wrong.
And he's not wrong. But there is a portion of the audience that loves tag matches. So if this is something that AEW is really going to feature, I get it. I get why.
When you do this many, and each and every one of them was good. Each and every one was entertaining in their own specific way. But you could just as easily have done, I don't know, a Moxley-Page match with the other two in the corner. And the same stuff could have went down. It could have evolved into whatever it did. It didn't have to be another tag match. I don't know that in that particular match, for example, the team did anything for me.
Yeah, and it's just a way to get some physicality between Omega and Mox and not give away the pay-per-view. Like,
which is fine.
There was some, but we didn't get everything, and now like they bring out Dean Ambrose goes under the ring, pulls out I believe barbed wire baseball bat, and on the other side of the ring Omega goes under the ring and I think it was a barbed wire broom.
Yeah, so last week
and there's no interact, like they don't hit each other with the actual barbed wire, like I think Mox got in like one butt end shot, but Pac like throws the both weapons out of the ring and is like, no. But psychologically, because wins and losses matter, it did make sense. Pac doesn't want to take a loss.
Exactly.
So he throws that stuff out of the ring, and Mox just walks out, and it sets up a match between them next week. So I did think this was good booking, despite there not being like a storyline. They're telling their stories in the ring right now, and that's a good way to do it.
And the broom and the bat thing was built from last week when Pac attacked Omega, and that's great, but I even saw your face when you were saying it. A barbed wire bat versus a barbed wire broom.
Yeah, people were like, is that a freaking broom?
Like I thought the same thing when I saw the last week. I'm like, what in the hell? Like, he's like, pick it up.
Because
like,
I'm not.
I'll do any bat versus broom any day, no matter what it's covered with.
I wasn't particularly close to the act. Like, great. If you've never been to the Lee Corus Center,
Very cool,
intimate venue. I've seen Green Day there. I've seen TNA there. Always have a good time at that venue. One thing I will say, though, got 2 Miller Lights. They were in the aluminum bottles.
Okay.
They were the last year's holiday bottles. Like, they put out those special edition, like, it looks like a holiday sweater. That was the most. I like Miller. Like, I'll never crap on Miller Light. It is my gonna drink 12, 14, 20 beers tonight beer of choice. the stalest thing I've ever tasted. Like, I would have rather drank a Natty Ice. It was so bad. And, like, I don't know if they were just getting rid of the old crap with the wrestling fans, or if that's what the Leah Coors Center is doing. But guys, pick it up. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't particularly close, but I could still see everything. But I was like, I really hope that broom has barbed wire on it. Otherwise, like, Omega just brought a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, it was just fun. Swing a broom.
Yeah, like
a baseball bat. Like, I've done that before. Like, it's hard.
Yeah,
to
like
do.
If there's like a mouse in your house and you go to swing a broom at it and like it's a big mouse and it laughs at you, like it's a freaking broom.
I would laugh at. Listen, it's barbed wire. It's a point of the story, but the same thought that you clearly had, I had when I saw it last week, and then this week I'm like. Really, a broom? Like
no, in a
like I'll take a regular baseball bat versus a barbed wire broom. I'll
yeah.
take a pencil versus a broom any day or something. Come on, man. No,
and that was it. But it sets up the pay per view. It sets up next week, so that's that match. Main event, the TV main event, Jericho against Darby Allin. Oh my God, do I love Darby Allin? I don't know what to say. This dude will just take. He's a 145-pound Mick Foley. Will literally take any bump. Like, had his hands.
Wow.
His hands taped behind his back and just started taking a freaking beating. Like, did a suicide dive with his hands. I just can't say enough about Darby Allin. Jericho, when that dude is 72 years old, he will tell a good story in the ring.
Yeah.
Also, that song isn't bad.
Fair.
And like, listen, I like 80s, I like hair metal and stuff, so I'm like, Van Halen's one of my favorite bands in the world, whatever. I know I'm a little different in that way, but if you're into that kind of music, not terrible.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of bands in the 80s worse than Fozzy.
Yeah, well, it's the lead to his podcast, I think he uses every week, too.
I've listened to his show like three, four, like,
which is
it's not a,
but that's
it is, yeah,
beside the point.
Neither here nor there. It's just not on my to-do.
It was a solid match.
But my God, man.
I like, by the way, the paint with Champ everywhere.
Yeah.
That was a cool just little touch.
And I just, like, Darby Allin, while none of my friends, these guys are just always over for me. Like, even going back to Raven's Flock, CM Punk, any like the alternative lifestyle looking dudes. None of my friends in high school were straight edge, but these guys just kind of look like my friends looked like in high school. So I always just gravitate towards them, and I just really love Darby Allin and that dude. He's going to be a star. I don't know what else to say. I also love face paint people. Ultimate Warrior, the Road Warriors, whoever. I love face paint people. I don't like Finn Balor, but when he's the demon, he's over with me.
Are you a big LG fan, too, with the weird little face paint that he just weirdly
debuted? Ascension, man. I love the Ascension.
It was entertaining.
This was fun. This was and
I even liked watching Jericho sort of skateboard.
Oh my God!
Old dad who just didn't know how to do it.
There was a "You can't Ollie" chant that was really funny. Like that just made me laugh.
He's different and in a really good way, Darby Allin. Like he with the Ollie thing the other week off the top turnbuckle with the I think there was thumbtacks on the bottom of the skateboard. Like that it's different.
One
and
thing
that's what I wanted from wrestling is different.
One thing just and this is minor, but. He went to a no contest with Cody, time limit draw with Cody, and that I think in just a regular street fight. I think he has his arms taped behind his back. He's in the whatever it's called. Is it still the Walls of Jericho? I don't know. He's in Jericho's finish, and he does submit. I wanted to see him pass out or something because that just seemed to make more sense for his character. I didn't want to see him go like I'm nodding my head. I forgot this is radio. I didn't want to see
I
him.
Wish I could take a gif of that.
I didn't want to see him actually submit. Wanted to see him. I thought it made more sense for his character to like pass out rather than give up. More that Stone Cold. Like Stone Cold wasn't tapping. You know, it's a submission match. How do you get out of that? He passed out from the blood. Understand? Like it's Jericho. He's a legend. He's a submission finish, and. Darby Allin has his hands taped behind his back, whatever. But small thing.
No, you're not wrong. And it's all, by the way, it's also better than that Judas effect weird.
Yeah, I
back
don't want
back.
Like, listen, if Brock,
finish
if Brock Lesnar
video.
Or one of these new MMA boxing dudes wants to win matches with a back elbow, fine. I don't like strike finishes. I didn't like Seth doing the knee. I hated Big Show's punch. I don't like strike finishes.
You're not a fan of the woman's right?
Oh, God. She's a babyface now, if you haven't heard. Well, anyway.
It's a cool name, by the way, but that's the only thing cool about that finish.
Gonna get to the last two dark matches now. Overall, awesome show, though. Check it out if you haven't seen it. The only match that didn't get over all night, Nyla Rose versus Leva Bates. Leva Bates, everyone loves blue pants, but man, this librarian thing, not all that good, and this match was just bad. I don't know. Yeah, it was not good.
I'm not a fan of either one of them. Blue pants
was
fine.
Leva's
in
okay.
NXT.
Leva's okay. I've seen some out of Nyla. I get, if she's in there with, I think it's a lot like Nia Jax.
Yeah,
with,
why I'm not a huge
with,
fan of Nia
yeah,
Jax.
Yeah, with the right opponent, you can tell a good story. But very limited. I think you need to tell those stories. I've seen Nia Jax have great matches. Just this was not a good match.
Exactly.
But the main event, the dark main event, more than made up for it. Cody, Dustin, and the Young Bucks defeat Private Party and Strong Hearts. Man, Private Party, they are like the next Young Bucks. And Dustin, Ageless Wonder, my God. In this match, they did a quadruple Shattered Dreams. Just so much fun stuff in this match. It was very much a dark match, very much like something you'd see at a house show. More fun than anything. But again, think about the talent I just named.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to do some crazy stuff. It was really cool, but you know what kind of match this was. It was a dark match. Send everyone home happy. Get your stuff in kind of match. But afterwards, I don't know if this is going to air on Dark or not, but Cody cuts a great promo, just thanking everybody, the Bucks. There's a little kid dressed up as Orange Cassidy in the front row. They bring him in, and it's just like a great moment. He gets a pin on Cody, like, and it's just everyone goes home happy. Like, this little kid had an awesome moment. One of the Jacksons goes, does that count on your win-loss record?
Like, took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I'm sitting like, if he's 1-0, he should be getting a title shot to.
Cody said, no, he's actually going to Baltimore full gear. And like, it was just, like I said, Cody and Brandy did a great job on our show selling me on the project. You could hear the passion in both of their voices, and you could tell everyone out there at the end of the night wanted to make sure everybody felt like they were part of something. And man, we're as jaded as it gets. Like, we have a freaking wrestling podcast. Kevin was a wrestler. We're as jaded as it comes. Shit, did I have a good time.
And that's the beauty about AEW so far. I watched the first couple on DVR, just didn't get to watch it on time. It's different, it's fun, but my biggest concern is the one you brought up multiple times. Where is these stories going to go? It can't just be,
I hope they get to that.
Like, will the Young Bucks ever break up? Could that be a story down the line? Probably not. But it's got, things like that have to go somewhere. It can't just always be the same matches. Type
I will
over
say
and over and over
one
again.
Of your concerns about, and we're going to wrap up real soon. I know we're over time. Turtle keeps subtly checking his watch. One of your concerns about how the being the elite guys are just constantly going to be the top of the card guys, and at the beginning it makes sense. They've already put over Private Party. Private Party moved on last week in the tag tournament. The Bucks are out of the tag tournament. Like, if you were to put money on who's going to be the first tag champs,
I would have put my entire life.
You couldn't have got, Vegas would have taken the Bucks off the board because you couldn't have got anyone to vote against them, to bet against them. Yeah. They're out in the first round. So
it's a great start.
Right away, yeah.
It's just, like I said, my concern always was being the elite.
Yeah.
Those guys were going to run the company. And it sort of looks like they do in part.
They do. They're in charge.
That was the biggest line that they crossed already, in a good way, that said, this is not just going to be my company, my rules type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to dominate.
And they're collaborative. I think they look at their owner as someone who's collaborative as well. If you've seen Being the Elite, these guys know how to tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to get stuff over. I think they just have to integrate it to television. Again, it's episode 3.
Yeah. We can't even judge them that
harshly.
And
they're, like, the thing that's going to make them different is their in-ring product, and they're getting that over right now. It's great. I do want to see that progression. We want it. We need it. In order to grow your audience, you have to have it.
Well, and that's the key. The hardcore audience, the you, the me, the Kenan, the X amount of thousand of people that were there.
Yeah.
They'll probably watch the YouTube this, the Dark match that. The average fan...
Yeah, AEW Dark is one of my favorite wrestling shows of the week.
The average fan that doesn't know about these things, that doesn't typically sit down and look at the Twitter and this and that and the third, they need to see the story on TV too.
Yeah.
That'll come, I hope, and I think, but it needs to start coming at least a little bit.
Yeah, they need to start integrating it, I think, maybe... After the first pay-per-view, after Full Gear, is when we'll start building to that. Because one thing I liked is, Cody even said on the interview, it's not like they're going to do 12 pay-per-views a year.
Which is
they're
going
to do four
thing.
Or five. And in order to do that, while I love it, 12 is too many, 10 is too many, 8 is too, you know? Like, yeah. In order to do that, though, like, you got to tell the story. You have to tell long-term, yes, exactly. You have to tell the long-term stories to get to those pay-per-views, to get people to buy those pay-per-views. So let's hope that's the next
Absolutely.
Thing they conquer. All right, that is all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes. Thank you for coming back after our Cody and Brandy interview. If you haven't listened to it, you're in the minority of our audience because that thing blew up. It was so much fun.
You could also find it on Facebook, too, on our Smarks and Stripes Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because it was live on Facebook, which a lot of viewers watched that as well.
I saw that as well. The Facebook is really cool. Like our page there. Follow us at Smarks Stripes. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. Give us those good reviews. Tell your friends. Smarks and Stripes Podcast. My name is Bill Matz for Turtle. Have a great week, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.